Well, good morning. Nice to be back again. Would you believe it's 2 years since I was here last? COVID has a lot to answer for. But it's good to be back and nice to be in fellowship together. And God's good, isn't he? Oh, my goodness. God is good all the time. Through the tough times, through the hard times, through the viruses, all through the difficulties, God is good. And he brings us to a place where we can learn to trust him more. So it's nice to be here. Thanks for the invitation once again. I used to come once a year and then the virus came. So 2 years on, nice to be back again. If you have your Bibles, will you turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. I always think it's a shame when we bring out a verse like this only at Christmas. One of the things that we do every Christmas, this sort of verse comes out and we use it and then we put it away for a whole year and it doesn't come out again until the next Christmas. But it's more than a Christmas verse. It's an amazing promise given to the children of Israel and given to the church. So let me read it very carefully to you. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's an absolutely beautiful promise given by Isaiah. Now, I'm going to do something a little bit differently with this particular verse. I'm not going to do a kind of exegesis of the verse and uncover what it means. I want to look at the background more than anything else. There's a lot of people that think Isaiah was not just one kind of person, but he was three. And there's huge controversy in some of the doctors of theology who talk about one Isaiah, two Isaiahs, and three Isaiahs. And they say that because it's a remarkable book. It's the longest book in the entire part of the prophecies, the major prophets. It's the longest one, 66 chapters. Poor Obadiah only had one chapter. Micah, poor little fella, had four. But Isaiah has got this huge mass of scripture, 66 chapters. And they think because of the changes that take place from chapter 1 right the way through to chapter 66, that there's a different kind of flavor and a different kind of person speaking and a different kind of man growing up, transferring his allegiance, giving somebody else the right to prophesy. And some of them think there's two or even three Isaiahs. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible talks about Isaiah. And if you look at the trace of Scripture from the early chapters through to the last chapters, there's a huge change going on in his life. In chapter 6, he's a very young prophet. He's very immature. And he looks at the king Uzziah, and that was his hero. And chapter 6 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And this young man had a transformational moment in God. He saw the Lord and he began to prophesy. He began to grow and he began to develop. And as the years went by, he prophesied to four different kings over a period of 60 years. And as he traveled through his prophecies and as he ministered to those kings, he changed, a bit like you and I change as we in our journey with God. I got saved when I was 6 years old in a church in London where there was a gospel crusade for children and they had stories and they had painting and they had all kinds of things going on. And at the end, there was a challenge that Jesus is coming again and if you're not ready, you'll be left behind. Well, that panicked me. It frightened the life out of me, to be honest. Mum and Dad were Christians, went to church three times every Sunday, religiously for years. And I knew they were Christians, and I knew if the Lord came, they would go to be with the Lord. But this evangelist man who was talking to the children frightened the life out of us because he said, you'll be left behind. So 70 years ago, I gave my heart and life to the Lord. Very simply, very childishly, didn't have any understanding of theology, didn't know the Lord very well, didn't know myself very well. But as the years go by, And as the years develop, and as we journey through the hills and the valleys and the good times and the hard times, you learn more about the Lord. And you learn more about yourself. And you grow in grace and things change. I know more about the Lord now than I did when I was six, obviously. And there's still more to uncover. Paul talked about the unsearchable riches of Christ. We never come to the end of our knowledge of him. We never plumb the depths of the mine of God's grace and God's glory. And we change as we develop. So if you take a look at me and you don't like what you see, just remember, God's not finished with me yet. And if I take a look at you and I don't like what you do, I'll remember, God's not finished with you yet. There's troubles and trials, hills and valleys, good times and bad times, health and viruses. We all travel through these times and we change and we develop and we grow in grace. That's what Isaiah was doing. The Bible doesn't say there was two of them or three of them. It talks about a prophet, Isaiah, who came before four kings, who prophesied over 60 years, 66 chapters in the book. And yet as he grew in grace, he developed and he changed and he became more and more aware of the Lord. And here's one of his prophecies. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He brought that to a king when there was a huge dilemma in Israel. And they were all longing for a Messiah. They were all waiting for a deliverer. Every man in Israel prayed that he would bring forth the seed that would bring a Messiah. Every woman prayed in the Old Testament that she wouldn't be barren, that she might bring forth a child who might be the Messiah. And there was this longing, this hunger, this weight resting upon the nation, longing for a deliverer. And Isaiah comes and says, get ready, he's coming. It would take another 500 years. It would take a lot more journeys. That generation would die and other generations would live. But Isaiah said, he's coming. Trust me, he's coming. Your deliverer. A child will be born, a son will be given, and he will be called Wonderful. So he's growing in grace and in glory and in ministry. He's ministering to four different kings, and they all had different aspects of life to juggle with and different laws to bring from the throne. And Isaiah's working his way through his spiritual journey. He's on his adventure with God, and he's coming slowly but surely to a place where he knows the Lord even greater, even better. Let me just encourage you this morning. Don't stop where you are. Hello? Don't stop where you are. Don't pause in the journey, even though it's tough, even though it's difficult. And we prayed for a lot of people here this morning who sickness and suffering, it's tough. No one says that's easy. And sometimes you get knocked around by all kinds of winds and waves and it buffets you and it throws you off course. And don't give up. Grit your teeth, press on, press into what God has, because there's much, much more to discover about the Lord. Don't pause in the journey. Keep pressing on. And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, and it doesn't matter how long you've been on the journey, there's more and more to discover about this wonderful Messiah who came. Isaiah may be just one of them. I'm not going to enter into the theological debate. I just believe there's one of them who changed as he journeyed and grew in God. And he had this wonderful, wonderful prophecy. That's the first aspect of this. The second aspect of this is that he was a prophet. Now, I don't know where you've been, and I've been around a long, long time now, and I've been in dozens and dozens of churches over the years. I've learned something about prophecy, and it's a very negative thing. A lot of people think that the anointing of God and prophetic ministry has to do with people up here, or people who have got a title, or people who have got a position in church, or people have got a label attached to them because they're an evangelist or a pastor or a prophet or an apostle or a teacher, and they have to have a kind of label resting upon them in order to enter into prophetic ministry. Now we need to put the axe to that, because God wants to speak to us, all of us, and God wants to speak through us at all times. I want to use a phrase that I use quite often. We need to learn to be naturally supernatural, because God wants to breathe his life upon us. The very opening song this morning was, "Holy Spirit, you are welcome here." It's a beautiful song. And as we sing that, we need to open our spirit, because God has got a lot to say to us. God has got a lot to breathe upon us by his Spirit, and we can open our hearts to him and breathe quite naturally the things of God and be open to prophecy. We're a Pentecostal church and we're a Pentecostal denomination, and sometimes there's an absence of gifts, especially prophecy. God wants to speak to our nation. God wants to speak to our towns and our cities. God wants to speak into our families and into our churches. And we don't have to have a title or a position or stand on a platform. We can breathe the breath of God and receive prophetic ministry at any moment of any time. And we need to learn to do that, because there's an absence of that in our day and our generation. We need to speak into nations. We need to speak into our cities and into our churches. And God's got so much to say, and you can't sit back and wait for somebody to come who may have a prophetic ministry or may have a title. God's got to breathe upon us that we might open our spirit and become naturally supernatural. I learned a big lesson several years ago. I was preaching on a Wednesday night in a church. Good service, nice atmosphere, good message. It was a good band that played, and we had a great time of worship, and we enjoyed it immensely. And we came to the end, we had teas and coffees, and the lights were going out, and I had 2 hours to drive to go home, and I just wanted to leave by then. The meeting was done. It was all over. Band was finished. Teas and coffees were served. I had 2 hours. I was heading towards the door, and a man came and stood right in my way, right in the middle of the aisle. And he didn't say anything, and I didn't say anything, and he blocked my way, and I thought, I wonder what he wants to say or what he wants to do. So I put my hand out and said, "Good night, God bless you, nice to be here, see you next time around." And he never moved. Do you know, you get these embarrassing moments sometimes, you don't quite know what to do or right what to say. So I moved to my left and he moved to his right. And we stood there. So I thought, I'll try again. "God bless you. Great to be here, lovely meeting, really enjoyed it, see you again." And he stood still. So I moved to my right and he moved to his left. And we're standing there doing this dance in the middle of the aisle. And all I wanted to do was go home. It was 10 o'clock. I had a 2-hour drive at the end of the service. I wanted to get past him and get away. So I thought, very gently, very lovingly, "God bless you, see you again." And he still didn't move. Now I'm getting just a little bit anxious, just a little bit annoyed. Not much, but just a little bit annoyed. And I tried to push past him, and he said, "Excuse me," he said, "can I give you something?" Well, that changed everything. I love when people say, "Can I give you something?" I'm open to that all the time. And I thought, what's he going to give me? I received a ministry gift from the church, so that was in my pocket. That was fine. Everything was done. I had free biscuits, free cup of tea. I had all that done. And, "Can I give you something?" I said, "Well, yes, certainly." And he reached into his bag and he pulled out some fibers. And he said, I'd like you to have these. And I thought, what on earth is he giving me? And he said, I'd like you to have these. So I said, "Well, thank you very much." And he said, "It's a fiber micro-optic." I thought, lovely. I've always wanted a fiber micro-optic. I've prayed for years, "Lord, one day, could I have a fiber micro-optic?" And I had no idea what he was giving me. No idea at all what he was trying to say. And he said, do you know what you have in your hand? I said, no, I don't, to be honest. He said, can I tell you? He said, I'm a scientist. I work with BT, technology. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have a seminar. It's way gone 10 o'clock. I'm standing in the aisle. He's given me this strange little piece of equipment. And he said, can I explain what this is? So I said, well, yes, please do so very quickly. And he said, well, this fiber contains every electronic pulse and every electronic data that anybody ever uses, or your emails, or your texts, or your downloading from social media, comes through fiber micro optics. And he said, we bind them together, and we've worked on this for years, and we bind them into a core, and there's thousands of these fiber optics, and they carry all the electronic data right the way through the nation. It's bounced to a satellite 22,000 miles above the earth, and it comes back down, and you can have crystal clear communication, social media, everything flows through fiber micro optic. And he was so pleased with himself because he's a scientist. And I thought, fine, that's lovely. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate this gift. And I put it in my pocket and I tried to go by, and he said, one more thing. And I thought, here comes the second part of the seminar. And he said, if man can create that, what can God do? And he turned around and he walked away. And I thought, what on earth was that all about? And I got in my car and I set off down the road. It was quite dark, going through a forest on the way back to the motorway. And halfway home, I suddenly thought, what an idiot. Here was a man, a scientist, who stood in my way, and I got a little bit irritated. And he gave me this thing that I don't want. And he tried to explain what it was and how it was useful and how the nations benefited and how the world has created this. And I suddenly realized he was giving me a prophetic word. If man can do this, what can God do? And he was trying to lift my horizon. He was trying to enlarge my capacity to understand God. And with that, he was gone. And I thought, what an idiot. In my irritation, I almost missed a word from God, because it didn't come with the usual church package. Thus saith the Lord. Or I see a picture. Or I believe God is saying to you. It just came from a scientist who was wrapped up in his world of technology, who was so excited about what had been created, who had given the world this fiber optic to increase communications right the way around the planet and beyond. He was so excited. He came as a very natural, supernatural word. If man can do this, what can God do? And I learned a huge lesson that evening. In my irritation, I missed a prophetic word. Somebody who was just trying to lift my horizon and bring me a greater awareness of God from his scientific, excited background. He was trying to bring me a word from God that would increase my understanding of his grace and his glory. And I almost missed it. And I learned a lesson. We need to be open to God at any moment, at any time. God wants to speak to us constantly. Doesn't have to be an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. Doesn't have to be a Sunday school superintendent or a worship leader or someone up here with a title. God wants to speak to you and speak through you and bring you prophetic words at any time, naturally, supernatural. And Isaiah learnt this in his ministry through 66 chapters, through 60 years of ministry to four different kings. He was on a journey. And he learned to be naturally supernatural, so that any moment God could speak to him and he could bring a word to the nation. And the word here in Isaiah 9 is, for unto us a son is born. We need to learn that at any moment God can speak to us. We used to have a holiday in America every year for 7 years. And there was a church that we loved to go to constantly, and it was a great musical church, great musical ability. And they had a pianist there who was setting at a grand piano, and he played the most beautiful music and made CDs, and we've got some in the car still. And every time we went there, I just enjoyed his music and he sat on the platform. I'd never seen him anywhere else before, during and after the meeting, playing his piano. And we walked in one Saturday evening, and the pianist is sitting in the entrance hall, big church, big entrance hall, and he's sitting in the entrance hall. And he looked as if he'd just lost everything in life. He looked absolutely miserable. And as I walked past him, I felt the Lord say, go and speak to him. And I thought, Lord, I'm on holiday. This has nothing to do with me. This church has nothing to do with me. I've got no authority here. I'm just an attender. I'm just a worshiper. Please, Lord, don't do this. I'm on holiday. And so I ignored it and I walked past and I sat down. And it came strong. Go and talk to him. There was about 15 minutes to go. He should have been on the platform playing. And the Lord said, go and talk to him. And I thought, oh my goodness, do I really need to get involved in something like this? I'm on holiday. I said to Carol, I'll just be a moment. I'm just going to go back and see this guy. And I walked back and I said, evening. I said, how are you? And he said, oh, I'm fine. Fine, he said. I said, isn't it time for you to start playing? And he said, yes. He said, I will in a minute. So I said, are you okay? And he said, yes. So I said, well, that's strange because I really felt that I needed to come and talk to you and maybe pray with you. And his whole attitude changed and he said, I'm going through the worst crisis in my life. He said, we're on the verge of a huge church split. And there are people taking sides and I've got friends and they've let me down badly and I'm in a terrible place and I really don't know how I'm going to get through. So I said, well, this is strange because I don't know you. You don't know me. I've just come for the evening meeting, but I really feel that God wants me to pray for you. And I just prayed that the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow would touch his life. And that through the storm and through the split or whatever's taking place, that he would see clearly his role and function in the ministry and he would not miss a beat in his music and that God would carry him through and God would bless him. And I said, I'm just going to pray that over you and love you and just ask that God will be good to you. And I said, we need to get back into the meeting. And I went back and sat down. He jumped up and he went straight to the platform and he played beautifully that evening. Now, I don't know what went on. He's texted me a few times since then. I don't know where he is with God, and I don't know what happened to him on his journey. But all I know is out of the blue, naturally, supernatural things can take place, naturally. Where God can breathe upon us, and God can speak through us, and God has a word for us constantly. And all we have to do is to be open to him. Don't stop on the journey. Isaiah didn't. 60 years, he traveled with God, 60 years on his spiritual journey, learning, growing, developing, maturing, until he was in the right place at the right time at every chapter in his book. Isaiah 53 talked about the suffering lamb who would be wounded and would bleed for us. And he developed his ministry all the way through those years. It's a wonderful, wonderful prophecy. If you've got time, take a chapter a day and read through his prophecies. They're quite remarkable. So let me close with this. Do you need something a little extra from the Lord today? A lot of people have been prayed for. A lot of people have been ministered to. But look at Isaiah's prophecy. He's going to be a wonderful counselor. Maybe you didn't feel like coming forward this morning and having hands laid upon you. And you didn't feel you wanted to get involved in that and be just like that. Or maybe you're at home and you're watching online and you couldn't participate in that this morning. Maybe you just need arms around you as a wonderful counselor. Maybe you just need someone to come alongside and carry you for a little while. That's what a counselor does. He points you in the right direction. He puts his arm around you and says, it's okay, all is well. Maybe you need that little bit of ministry today, maybe here or even at home. He's a wonderful counselor. He'll never lead you astray. He'll never take you down a wrong path. You can trust him through it all. And what a lovely Bible reading we had this morning. Nothing can separate us from his love. Not height, nor depth, nor length, nor breadth, angels, powers, or principalities, or things present, or things to come. He's a wonderful counselor who puts his arm around us and leads us on. Is that what you're looking for today? Open your heart to him, because he'll carry you through. Wonderful counselor. Mighty God, do you need someone to fight for you? Maybe you're feeling pressurized. Maybe you're feeling down. Maybe you feel out of sorts for a while and just nothing's going right and you're in a battle and you don't know how you're going to get through it. And he's a mighty God who carries us with his sword and with his angels and with his ministry. And he fights for us and he brings us through. He's on our side. He'll never let you down. He'll carry you all the way through the battle and out the other side into victory. He's a mighty God. He's an everlasting Father. Do you need a father today to just lean on? A father who will say to a child, "It's okay. I'm going to love you through whatever you've done. I'm going to love you through to a present place of blessing. I'm going to bring you out of the troubles and trials that you may be in. I'm going to be a father to you and carry you on." He's an everlasting Father. Maybe you just need that comfort of a parent today who will say, "I'm with you." And he's the Prince of Peace. And I think out of all of those attributes, this is the most remarkable one. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that goes beyond the natural. When you should be panicking and frightened and fearful, peace comes. I heard a Ukrainian pastor say just this week, still conducting their meetings with bombs round and about them and hope dying and pressurized in the nation. I heard a Ukrainian pastor say this week, "We're going to hold on and trust God for peace." We should be prophesying over Ukraine words of peace, words of victory. We should be speaking into that nation. You have the right to, in God, to pray for that nation and pray peace upon them. And maybe in the storm, maybe in your personal battle, you need the Prince of Peace just to cover you with his grace and with his glory and with his ministry. Will you stand with me, please, as we pray? If it's a father you need, reach out to him. If it's a counselor, reach out to him. If it's the mighty God you need to draw near to and have him fight for you, draw near to him. And just lift your heart right now. And Father, in Jesus' name, we think of these words, "For unto us," that was a nation hundreds and hundreds of years ago. 500 years before the Messiah came, 2,000 years later, we stand in your presence. And right now, Father, we need that word to come to us afresh. "For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given." And whatever attribute of your presence today we need, we just reach out to you. Beyond the natural, beyond our human resources, beyond anything that we can ever bring. And we just pray, Father, for the presence of God to touch every life here. Prince of Peace, will you minister? Heavenly Father, will you minister? Mighty God, will you touch lives? Wonderful Counselor, will you come? We stand quietly in your presence, a beautiful sense of God right now. And I pray into lives here in this building and watching by television. Right now, Father, bring healing and grace. We think of Ukraine. Thousands of believers who love you. Pastors who are not leaving their flock but staying on. Missionaries who are not leaving the battle but staying. And in their agony of hopelessness, Father, we just speak peace and victory. We speak that over the nation of Ukraine. And we pray, Father, today that your word becomes real in every church gathering in the Ukraine today, whatever tiny village or major town or city where your people are still gathering, maybe even underground. We just pray the blessing of God to rest upon them. So, Father, take your word today. Release it in our hearts. Help us on our journey. Because sometimes, Father, it's really tough. But you're the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.